Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Key and me today. Jay, a little time off. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What's up?
What's his drink of choice right now?
I would say where Jay, I'd say he's got a maybe a pina colada or something right now. It's that feel. If he's somewhere warm, I would say he's got to have some kind of
frozen deal.
Or maybe not a Mai Tai, but like a mojito or something. Yeah. Something refreshing in the hot sun. What would you do on the beach if you were on a beach somewhere?
If I was on the beach, while I was drinking?
Yeah.
Whatever they give me. Give me that. Yeah, I'll take it. It's good. Yeah, what's he having? Give me one of those.
Do you know nowadays, just the schedule and the time of life and everything, if I have a drink, like,
me?
People are, did we lose Key?
You lost me?
Guys, tell me, did we lose Key?
Yeah, we lost him.
All right,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
let's see.
I'm doing it.
All right, well, Key's trying to get his mic back. In the meantime, here's A.J. Brown on Jalen Hurts' potential contract extension. Listen to this.
Listen, I love Philly. And I'm about to say, you do not pay this man. Just ship me off wherever he finna go.
It's over.
Package
deal me with him.
Listen, so you talk about pressure. Howie, get it done.
Howie Roseman, A.J. Brown, the Eagles star wideout, is talking to Howie Roseman, the Eagles general manager, who, by the way, put together the first Super Bowl team in Eagles history, tore it down, built it up again, new coach, new quarterback, and got back to the Super Bowl and within like a play of winning it. But A.J. Brown likes Jalen Hurts so much, he says, wherever you stay, if you don't pay this man, just send me wherever he winds up. And what you hear there is a guy who, in Jalen Hurts, are we hearing Key yet? A guy in Jalen Hurts who not only can make all the throws and make all the plays with his legs and all that stuff, but he leads because the guys who play with him love him, right? He finished second in the MVP behind Patrick Mahomes and deserved it, obviously, even though he got hurt at the end. And sometimes a guy gets hurt and it highlights what's so good about him. The Eagles, including the playoffs, were 16-2 with Jalen Hurts in games he played. 16-2. They're 8-1 every 9 games with him. And they were 0-2 without him. And it's not like they have a bad backup. Gardner Minshew was like a legit starter in the league not that long ago. He's a solid backup. 0-2, 16-2 with. So part of that's the talent on the field, part of it's his ability as a leader, and getting guys not only to follow him, but love him. Like, guys love Jalen Hurts.
Magic, I'm back.
Hey, look at this. Oh, Keyshawn Johnson. Now at the
positions.
Microphone, I just have to turn to my right. You just switched mics.
Yes, that is a magical move on my part.
You know, I have a good idea. Since that mic always seems to go out, that little setup, we should just fix that over there. Because it feels like 2-3 times a week that mic dies when Jay is sitting in it, and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. But I didn't hear anything you were saying.
Well, I was talking about Jalen Hurts and the fact that A.J. Brown's talking to Howie Roseman. He's on a podcast, and he says, look, wherever you send – wherever he goes, if you don't pay Jalen Hurts and he goes somewhere, just ship me there. And the fact that Jalen Hurts' success comes from not only his talent on the field, running, throwing, all those things, reading defenses. Oh, he's the coach's son leading. Yeah, but guys love him. It's not just like your average quarterback where they're like, oh, he's a leader. Yes, he's a leader, but it's
they're
like the team rallies around him.
They're going to pay him. It's nothing to even discuss or have a conversation about.
Right.
A.J. Brown's just trying to help his teammate because that's what good teammates do.
Got to leave little money for A.J. too.
Oh, he'll be fine. He'll get his in 2 years or a year and a half anyway too.
What is it about Hurts you think that is that quality? As I said, there are some quarterbacks who can lead, but in his case, it's leading and there's a little extra love there, right? What is that?
Well, it's his personality, it's his worth ethic. People, they follow without him telling them to follow.
But like even Brandon Jacobs won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants. He was on this show talking about how he rocks with Jalen Hurts. He'd want to play with a guy.
With him.
What is it about Jalen?
You can look at him and tell he's serious about his business.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fold the tank or his tent, so to speak, when things didn't go right in Alabama. He didn't take his ball and go home. He stayed the course in such due time that made sense for him to leave. He got drafted by the Eagles. He didn't trip out when they benched him at the end of the year and played that little quarterback game or whatever it was. He didn't trip out. He came back ready to go. He lost against Tampa Bay in his first playoff appearance. He said the season starts the next day for him. He went into the lab and got better. He came back better. When you know that as a player and a teammate and you can see it, you understand what it is. You want to roll with that guy. Think about it. From day one, Max, I've been telling you, that dude is real.
Yep.
Ah, well, you know, whatever, you know, he needs to throw better.
No, the only thing I always thought very highly of Jalen Hurts. The only question I'd had about him was he wasn't seeing the middle of the field.
You can't see the middle of a field when you just started playing.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning didn't see the middle of the field. Seen the other jerseys his rookie year.
But let's not get it twisted. I'm not saying that he wasn't going to see it. I just needed to see him. Like, in other words, because a guy has a lot of stuff doesn't mean he's eventually going to get there.
You could tell.
Why? Why?
Because you could just look at him and tell. It's just something about certain guys. I could look at him and go, first thing I told you about Zach Wilson, can't play.
Right.
You can look at him and tell.
What is that?
He can't play dead in the Cowboy movie.
No, what is it? I get it.
It's just his ability, the way he leads, how he wears it on his shoulders. You can just, it's just something. You know how when you look at certain athletes and he just look right?
Yep.
You could just be like, yeah, he can go.
Marcellus Wiley used to tell me that. Well, I asked him about Parcells because he played on the Cowboys when he was already a shot player, right? And he tells me a story about how he used to tell it on the radio how Parcells came up to him one day. I think Marcellus signed for like 1 year, $5 million, something like that, toward the end of his career. And Parcells told him in practice, "Is that all you got?" And Marcellus said, "Yeah." And Bill just shook his head and walked away. but I asked Marcellus what made Parcells different in his experience in various coaches.
Could identify immediately, instant evaluator.
He said he would walk out onto the practice field, whatever. He could look at a guy within 30 seconds. He could tell you everything these dudes could do. And Marcel said, I don't know how he did it, but he just watched a guy for a minute, and he could tell you everything. So you seem to have that same thing. What is it?
It's just something about certain guys. Like, you see him, and you're like, oh, he's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Or you could look at a guy and be like, dude, damn.
What the kids call his swag? What is it? Because there are some guys who got that, but that's all they got.
Yeah, but his swag is authentic.
Uh-huh. It's authenticity.
It's not something that's manufactured and created. Like, that's who he is. You know, his calm demeanor, his no panic, all of that is something that trickles down to the rest of the team.
And then he doesn't have, for you, any disqualifying characteristics. Like, for example, he's not the tallest dude, but he's just tall enough. He's not skinny like Bryce Young. He's like he's athletic enough
dude
to worry about.
Dude squatting 600 and something pounds,
right,
man.
So he checks all the boxes that are prerequisites for you, and then you see the extra.
He's a 6'1 guy.
Right.
But that's good enough.
Yeah, good
enough. Doesn't need to be 6'8". But I don't want him 5'10 either.
Right?
I mean,
right,
that's just,
right.
You know, and he's athletic. Yeah. And that's the same thing. Justin Fields is a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm,
but Justin Fields has the same stuff that Jalen Hurts has.
He can run.
He's got the same stuff.
Too.
Jalen Hurts can run.
No question. But I think
Justin Fields might be a little faster.
I think Justin Fields out of Lamar might be the best runner of the football at quarterback in the league, other than Lamar. And actually, I think it's kind of like Jalen, Justin Fields. But then Jalen also has the experience now, and he's got the team around him. He's got an offensive line. He's got A.J. Brown.
If Chicago parachutes T. Higgins in and drafts well and do those sort of things, maybe he doesn't hit as fast as Jalen Hurts, but you will certainly see a leap.
Like Josh Allen, year over year.
Yeah, you'll see a leap for sure because he can play football,
all right,
man. That's what he does.
We did this earlier in the show, but for those who weren't listening, we saw Patrick Mahomes, $500 million contract, but in fact, the guarantee is like $135 back then, right? But it was team friendly. But you explained to me earlier how actually Mahomes it's also Mahomes friendly, and that's the kind of contract that you think Jalen Hurts is going to wind up signing.
It will be not $135.
No, because that's gone up since then. Yeah.
It'll be a $200 million type situation of real money, and the number will be whatever it is on the back end. And then when they.
What do you mean by that? The number will be whatever it is on the back end?
Because that number could be a total of, you know, call it 7 years, $400 million.
Mm-hmm.
But the last $200 million in the last 4 years, or 3 years of that deal, they've got to figure out what to do with it. His first 4 years, probably going to be $200 million.
That's where all the guaranteed money comes in.
Absolutely.
And then once that's up, when people hear, oh, his guaranteed money is up, now they're either going to cut him, or they're going to trade, or they're going to give him a new deal.
They're
that's because the guaranteed money is up.
So he probably could look at something along, call it $50 million a year, call it $100 million to sign, $25 million, or whatever the numbers, however they mathematically work out, where they continue to increase over the second year, third year, fourth year. But in the first 4 years of the deal,
right,
he gets $200 million plus dollars of real money. Not fully guaranteed like a Deshaun deal, where Deshaun's deal is shorter. They're going to want to stretch his deal out a little bit longer.
And for those
for salary cap purposes.
Right, and we know we have an educated sports audience, but also some casuals listening. So for those who don't know, the reason you do that is you really give him a 4-year guaranteed contract, but you call it 7 years. And what that allows you to
do, amortize the money over time.
Right, you get to say the average annual is actually $28 million, not $40 million, so that counts less against the salary cap. That's why they do it that way. Joe in Jacksonville Beach, you're on with Keyshawn and Max here on KJM.
I've never heard of Jacksonville Beach.
Gentlemen, good morning. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for adding to my daughter's vocabulary. We listen to you for a 30-minute car ride on the way to school if she eats her Honey Nut Cheerios. Mm. And I think that the fact that we listen to you guys every morning is part of the reason why she has such an expansive vocabulary.
Yes, we help the youth.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Hey, I think that what you guys are talking about with Jalen and with Zach Wilson kind of is why this show works and other shows don't, why we enjoy this show so much. You guys are comfortable in your own skin, and you're authentic in your delivery, and you're not afraid to give each other the business because, A, you guys all have individual pelts on the wall, and B, you respect those pelts of the other guy. So you can rib each other and give each other the business with some respect and some class. That's what Jalen's got. He's comfortable in his own skin. He's authentic. The other guys in the league know and recognize what he went through and give him deference for that. Zach Wilson tries to act like he's been there and done that, and he's got nothing.
That's interesting.
It's empty. They're empty calories.
That's interesting. In other
right?
words, there's and, one and thing to say. It's one thing to say authenticity, which everyone's looking for. That's, you know, people look for authenticity. But it's authenticity with the pelts on the wall, as Joe says, Key, with the pelts on the wall, right? So you have the receipts. People know when you're being authentic, but you also they have reason to identify with you to see that you've overcome things. You lose your starting job in college. You don't make a big deal out of it. You go somewhere else. You ball out, et cetera. You get drafted in the second round. You don't let anything stop you, all that, right?
Alabama's claiming them these days, too.
Joe made a lot of good points, especially about us. I think we are just terrific.
Same thing, me and you, Max.
Same thing. Hey, I don't know what pelts I have on the wall, but I know his daughter knows things like salary cap now. She can go to school and say, amortize the money, salary cap. Help people affected by the Turkey earthquake, by the way. Just tens of thousands of people dead in Turkey from a devastating earthquake. And the Red Cross needs equipment. People need help. Visit the Red Cross, please, at redcross.org/ESPN. Redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond. So, former Chiefs running back LeSean McCoy predicts Eric Bieniemy will fail in Washington.
What?
We're going to get into it. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Running back LeSean McCoy, former Chiefs running back, said the following on Fox's Speak for Yourself. I hope he doesn't fail, speaking of Bienemy.
But I think he will. There's some issues that's there.
When you look at why Eric Bienemy hasn't really gotten a fair shot, we are all trying to scratch our heads. But it's not because he doesn't know football. I'm disappointed at McCoy, though. I'm disappointed
that he brought it up at all.
But that he would even go there.
What's what we're talking about? Off mic, veterinary expenses for animals.
Oh man, one of my poor dogs had to go into emergency surgery the other day, kidney stone removals, and it's a cold game out there, the veterinarian game. It's just.
I would tell my kids, I'm sorry, but Spike passed.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
I couldn't. I just couldn't. I mean, you know, it was young.
Of course,
got to get it taken care of, but
they got you
for sure.
They got you. Oh my God.
Yeah, I gotta up my insurance game on the dog though, for sure. I'll never do that again.
You need medical insurance for your dogs nowadays.
Yeah, we had insurance, or we have insurance, but it wasn't the right insurance for the dog. It was like cheap. We went real cheap on the insurance. We didn't think that we would need it, right? And so now I'm like, I don't care, just get the best insurance ever, because the price tag to remove the kidney stones was, you would think it was a human.
I think people just pass kidney stones, right? Just painful, but.
I'm not a vet, man. All I know is the poor dog needed help.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
I feel for you. I feel for the dog, but mainly for you. Former Chiefs running back LeSean McCoy, Key, predicts that Eric Bieniemy will fail in Washington. He said on Fox's Speak for Yourself, quote, I hope he doesn't fail, but I think he will. What's his value? What makes him a good offensive coordinator? He has nothing to do with the passing game at all. The plays are designed. That's Andy Reid. When you're talking about offensive coordinators, I can tell you what makes Brian Daboll with the Giants a very good coach. I can tell you what Andy Reid or Doug Peterson, why they're good coaches. But when I ask about Eric Bieniemy, what makes him good? Well, Lewis Riddick was on with us earlier, ESPN NFL front office insider, and he gave some insight into why he thinks LeSean McCoy is speaking about Eric Bieniemy this way.
That's extremely disappointing that he took that route with it. It sounded personal. It sounded like someone who had, although he was trying to put it as, look, I'm just being honest because I have firsthand experience and I was there and I'm just trying to give it to you straight and be objective. No, it sounded personal. It didn't work. It wasn't a very comfortable relationship between those two. And it wasn't a comfortable relationship between Shady and Kansas City when it ended there, because they basically told him, you're not that good anymore. You're not the same guy as you were in Buffalo and in Philadelphia when we drafted you.
Yeah, players don't like to hear certain things about their performance or who they are when they get older, and they don't realize. That's why sticking around sometimes too long. You got to get out of the league and get out of there while you can, when you're on top.
When you get to choose.
When you get to choose, yeah. Opposed to sticking around. And I know he had a relationship with Andy Reid and some of the other people that are in Kansas City based on the Philadelphia Eagle days and whatnot. But this is what you get. You get a player who seemed like at that time, him and Bieniemy certainly didn't get along at the level that you would think, based on performance, based on Bieniemy's coaching style, and where you perceive yourself as a player. So when somebody tells you something and you don't want to hear it, you take a negative approach toward it. So here's an opportunity now to fire back at Eric Bieniemy, something you've been holding on to for a long time.
He was loaded, huh?
And now all of them locked and loaded.
Came loaded.
Now you ready to unleash on him. And I'm extremely disappointed in Shady McCoy. And when I see him, I'm going to let him know, you are better than this. You're better than that.
What if he really believes it, Key?
But he can't believe it because it's not true. In fact, other players, Jamal Charles, Tyreek Hill, one of my good buddies in Tyreek Hill, he had something to say on his Twitter about what, in fact, was going on in the Kansas City's office in the room.
We have it up on ESPNU right now. I have to disagree with you, Shady. Bieniemy coached me 4 years. I learned many things from EB. I still keep in contact with him. A great husband and father. He deserves to be a head coach. That's Jamal Charles. Tyreek Hill. Shady and EB.
Shady mad at EB.
EB told him to tuck that ball because of his running style. He holds it out. Tyrann Mathieu. Man, you blanked up with it.
So there you go. So these are ex-players on the Kansas City Chiefs coming to the defense of Eric Bieniemy about what Shady McCoy's saying.
I think.
Like, now, when he says tuck the ball, Shady had a special way of running with the football, which was out all the way out here in the universe when he needed to hide it tight to the chest.
That's how you turn
and
it over.
EB is a veteran running back that says, man, you got to tuck that thing and hold it tight to the chest. And I'm sure Shady, after however many years, 12 years of carrying it way out here, he's like, this works for me. And EB like, well, it ain't going to work for me. And so you get the head's buddy.
So to me, it feels key that, and we discussed this earlier in the show, but for those who weren't listening at that point, here on KJM, it seems to me that there's a fear that Eric Bieniemy fails in D.C. and he doesn't get to disprove a negative racial stereotype. So what's the stereotype? Well, the guys getting the head coaching jobs nowadays are offensive coordinators. Unless apparently you're a black offensive coordinator, and then, or at least you're Eric Bieniemy, who is a black offensive coordinator, and it seems to me that you know that plays into stereotype, because it's okay to be a coach if you're a tough guy, defensive guy, but what is offense branded as? Cerebral.
Well, you're supposed to be
you
smart.
Always hear how smart someone is, and since obviously the history of this country,
I'd have had some dumbass offensive coordinators before.
Right, sure, of course, but we're talking about optics,
or
right?
Some dudes that claim to be geniuses.
Who weren't.
And not at all.
Right. But still, because in the history of this country, obviously the white power structure kept African Americans intentionally, like, you know, literacy was contraband at one point.
Yeah.
So the stereotype is not smart enough, right? Not cerebral enough. If it's a white offensive coordinator, he's a genius. But if it's a black offensive coordinator, maybe it's really the head coach who's doing
it. But it's not even a coordinator. It's a white coach. It has nothing to do with the coordinator on the offensive side of the ball.
What do you mean?
It could just be a quarterback coach.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a coordinator.
You don't have to be a coordinator. Yeah. You don't have to have the title. Yeah. He's smart.
Right.
Think about
quarterback's coach.
Think about this for a minute before we move on. Mm-hmm. Kellen Moore went from a backup to the backup of the backups to quarterback coach, to offensive play caller, to we can't lose you to Boise State. You're so great, we're going to give you a monster extension in Dallas as a Cowboy.
Can't let him leave the building.
Can't let him leave the building. Think about that for a minute.
That was happened in what, 2 years?
3 years.
3 years, yeah.
3 years. Fast. He Fast shot track. Up like an elevator going all the way up.
Right.
Think about it.
Well, you made a great point earlier in the show, I thought, Key, when you talked about where's the pipeline essentially to offensive coordinator and therefore head coach, quarterback. If you played quarterback, you get to coach the quarterbacks, not the running backs or the wideouts. You get to be offensive coordinator eventually, or sometimes you can even skip that, go straight to head coach. But if in 20 years ago, black players were basically dissuaded or excluded sometimes from playing the position, well, now you don't have the pipeline.
Whenever I hear of a black coach coaching quarterbacks, my mouth drops to the ground. Pep Hamilton, he's coaching the quarterback. Are you sure it's Pep Hamilton coaching the quarterbacks?
Right.
Brian Johnson, he's coaching the quarterbacks of the Eagles. Are you sure that that's the right person and the right name? Because it just is something that does not happen that often. In fact, Shaq Harris will be joining us, former NFL great, HBCU Hall of Famer, great Shaq Harris, who went to Grambling State, played for the Los Angeles Rams, and amongst other teams, is joining us on the show at 9:30 so we can have a conversation with him as well.
KJM offseason, by the way, check in. Key, we've been checking in. Rolls along. We check in with different teams.
Yeah, they got to check in with us, you know, homie.
By
check
the way,
in.
Apropos of our conversation, right?
Check
you
got to
check
homie.
In when you're in town.
Yeah, check in when you're in town.
So, apropos of our conversation, Key, the Washington Commanders we're checking in with. Are the Commanders a quarterback away from being a real contender in the NFC? Could that quarterback be Lamar Jackson? Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
And the season's over.
The NFL season might be over, but the storylines never stop.
More stories! More stories!
It's time for KJM's off-season check-in.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance, and checking in now, our off-season check-in on the Washington Commanders. And with us now to do just that, Bram Weinstein, ESPN 630, play-by-play voice of the Washington Commanders. Morning, Bram.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
So, you got Eric Bieniemy as your offensive coordinator. What kind of an effect do you expect him to have?
Big change to the offense for sure. This is a team that under the old version of Dan Snyder was making big signings with the players. Now they've done it with the coaching staff. And this was something that clearly was necessary. This is a team that has a lot of very, very highly skilled position players, but they weren't scoring any points. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And this is also a home run hire for Coach Ron Rivera, frankly. I mean, I think the elephant in the room is that there's likely going to be an ownership change within the next few months. And this is the type of move that gives him, and what he hopes, a chance to prove to whoever the next owner that it is his job to keep it that way.
No matter who is calling the plays in Washington at the coordinating position, you can't score points without a quarterback. Who's going to be the quarterback, though?
They have consistently, and a lot of people do not believe this, but they have consistently stated that Sam Howell has the best opportunity to win the job. He's the only quarterback under contract right now. They're going to bring in a veteran, but they have signaled that it's not going to be a high-priced veteran. They're not looking at Derek Carr. I think the conversation clearly would change if, for some reason, Lamar Jackson was actually available, or if Justin Fields was actually available. I don't see how they wouldn't be in a conversation like that, or at least attempt to be. But there's a lot of uncertainty here. And with that, not knowing who's giving the authority to necessarily take big swings in free agency or make the type of trade that we're talking about here, I think they're kind of in a situation where they have what they have, and they're going to go with Sam Howell. And for now, this has been the consistent message, is that that's what they are going to do. And I'm taking them at their word that we're going to have a very interesting OTA period with Eric Bieniemy, probably a new owner, and a quarterback who's played one game.
So, okay, what do you think overall, though, is the biggest question for the Washington offense, or at least off-season?
Well, if you put aside quarterback, you just take them at their word, because obviously everyone is going to be skeptical that that's really the direction they're going to go. But assuming you take them at their word and that is what they're going to do, they need to fix their offensive line. That is where things went awry for them a year ago. Brandon Scherff was perennial Pro Bowler. He left via free agency. They had a contract squabble with Eric Flowers. He ended up not signing with anyone else, but they didn't really adequately replace him. So both of their starting guards, both at a very high level, one a Pro Bowl level, are gone. Their starting center was coming off a major injury. The backup center was as well. So they had a swing guard playing center. So they brought in a couple of old veterans with a lot of tread on the tires. And injuries started early. And by the middle of the season, there was a rotation that is hard to describe. I mean, at one point, their starting right tackle, Sam Cosmi, who had been injured, came back and was playing right guard and right tackle in the same game, and rotating purposefully. So this group needs to be fixed. So to your point of whoever plays quarterback, I would even argue it's not even just that. They need to fix their offensive line to protect whoever is going to be the quarterback to have a real shot to turn the offense around.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough when those interior offensive linemen get a little older and get expensive.
They let Trent Williams get out the building several years ago. Happens.
Bram Weinstein, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN 630 play-by-play voice of the Washington Commanders. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Bram.
All right, guys.
So that was our KJM offseason check-in, the Washington Commanders. We're going to have the New York Jets check-in at 9:15 a.m. with former Jet Willie Colon. Hey, Key, are the Commanders actually a quarterback away from being real contender in the NFC?
I think they could be, depending on what quarterback it is that we're talking about. Like, if you look at the team from last year, they were close in a lot of games. Mm-hmm. They actually beat Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're competitive. Okay,
they beat a team that was in the Super Bowl. Very competitive. They got, like you said, they got a lot of good skill position players. They get Chase Young back healthy on the defensive side of the ball where he can play every single down now. I think that they got something. I mean, I honestly do. I think they're just one of Ron Rivera's biggest problems since he's been in Washington is the quarterback. If you don't have that guy, you're in trouble.
You know,
if you don't have a quarterback, you're in trouble.
More than even the quarterback, because there are some exceptions. But more than even the quarterback, and this is why I always thought it was more Belichick than Brady, and then I started changing my tune later.
Here we go.
In the NFL, it seems to me it's the coaches, because the coaching staff and the head coach especially. Because when you look at the NFC East, it was the worst division in football for years. And just like that, you look around, you go, oh, wait, this might be not the best quarterback division in football, right? But it might be overall the toughest division in football. Even without great quarterbacks, they have good quarterbacks.
But all three of those teams that made the playoffs, they got a young quarterback that's learning how to play in Daniel Jones with a new staff playoffs. They got another quarterback that is in his second year as a full-time starter, Super Bowl. They got another quarterback at Dak Prescott, won the first playoff game, went and lost to San Francisco, but at least they made it to the second round. They all got quarterbacks.
No, but listen to what I'm saying. Yes, they do, of course, right. But what I'm saying is,
if Washington had a quarterback last year, we might be looking at four teams.
But it's the Parcells thing. You just need a quarterback. You don't need the greatest quarterback.
Oh, no,
so you look at the quarterback.
They haven't had a quarterback.
The quarterback division was the AFC West, right? If you look at the level of quarterback, Mahomes, Herbert, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson.
They had names.
But they weren't a good division because there were questions about a lot of coaching staffs. But when you look at the NFC East, Giants got a coaching staff now. Eagles got a coaching staff, right?
Cowboys,
you can see,
all right.
Cowboys, okay.
All right.
But it's a guy who's won
Quinn's,
a Super Bowl.
Dan Quinn's really good.
Right. They got successful Super Bowl appearing head coaches as coordinators. And now you look at Washington, now Bieniemy's the offensive coordinator. You have a guy who's competitive every year in Ron Rivera. And they might be the most competitive division in football.
You got to get a quarterback, though.
But yeah, you have to get a quarterback. It's got to be a guy who can play. It doesn't need to be, Patrick Mahomes.
You don't need to get Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, but you got to get a guy who can play.
So give me a guy who can play.
I think a Tannehill could help them. I think a Ryan Tannehill could help.
Boy, I hope they do get Ryan Tannehill. I'm a Giants fan.
No, I said he could help them. I didn't say he was going to win the division.
Could they be in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes?
Yeah, they could. Here's the deal. If he's right about Daniel Snyder in the next weeks or months or whatever, the team gone, Daniel Snyder has been a splash guy. He likes star power. So if he was still in place as the owner, I could see them certainly 100% going after Lamar Jackson. I don't know if Ron Rivera thinks like that. I've talked to him many times over, and like he said, he wants to run the football, he wants to play defense, and he needs a quarterback that does just enough, not a quarterback that can carry a team.
So I do appearances.
Even though Cam Newton took him to the Super Bowl.
I do appearances on the Andy Pollin Show in D.C., which is on after us in D.C. on Tuesdays. And Andy was talking about a theory that he was asking me about it, that, Dan Snyder, because he's might be vindictive, might offer Lamar Jackson a crazy guarantee just to stick it to the other owners on his way out the door. Key, if he does that, he'd be doing that town the biggest favor on his way out the door he could, because that guarantee is not going to look crazy in a year from now or 2 years from now. And meantime,
I wonder if he'll still have does he have the power to do? I don't even know if he has
through
the power.
His wife, he can't. I'd have to look. But anyway, any dynamic that leads to Lamar Jackson on Washington is great for Washington.
Yeah, and I think management council may have to sign off. That's a good one. I didn't even think about that. You give you $500 million, just stick it to the rest.
And by the way, really, when you think about it, it doesn't stick it to the owners in the sense that they all have to spend on the team more or less the same. It doesn't drive the market up. It just drives the quarterback market up, which suppresses, say, the running back market, right? Because the money is all the same. There's a limit. But you got to put that in escrow. So now these owners are looking around going, hold up, time out. Now to sign our quarterback, we need to put $250 million in cash we got to come up with?
Yeah, they could borrow from the bank.
In that case, what's the big deal about the market going up? The overall market stays the same. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner, Key. Could powerhouse North Carolina really miss the tournament? I know Jay will be happy about that. Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Breaking NBA news from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The Hawks have fired coach Nate McMillan.
This is an organizational reset. They fired their GM in the middle of the season. They've now parted ways with Nate McMillan. Now you have a jump on anybody else who might be making a change for a candidate like Quinn Snyder.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and joined by ESPN college basketball analyst Coach Seth Greenberg. Morning, Coach.
Good morning, Maxie. What's going on, man?
What's up, Seth?
Hey, Coach, before...
Hey, Keisha, what's going on? Where's my man, Jay Will? Does he say good morning?
Jay Will heard you were on this morning and took a hideout.
Oh, my God.
Jay's taking a little time, a little personal time. He has, you know, he got like 12 kids now, so he's got to take a vacation every now and again. Coach, what do you think about the Nate McMillan firing?
I don't get it, but it's life in the NBA. Nate McMillan's a terrific coach, but if your voice is no longer heard, then it's time for change. And, the hierarchy of Atlanta thinks that his voice is no longer heard and the players aren't responding. If players aren't responding, it's easier to move the coach, who's a very, very good coach, a great communicator, who basically got that team to the playoffs, than basically move players. And who knows? I mean, like, the NBA is a different world because it is a players' league and it's player-driven, and you've got to retain your assets because you have great investments in your assets. And in a lot of ways, unless you have a Popovich or someone like that, it makes many of the coaches expendable.
Mm. Can the Hawks win an NBA title with Trae Young?
No.
Because?
No. He's a terrific player. He's a terrific player. He's a phenomenal watch. But, you can't win an NBA championship with non-defenders in the playoffs. Just can't. I mean, look, Trae Young, can he lift your team in a series? Sure he can. Can he lift your team in three series? I don't think so. He's a terrific talent. Is he tough enough, competitive enough on defensive end? Is he too much of a liability on defensive end? Is he too ball dominant? I don't think that's the case, because the NBA, you're going to have that. But do you think, Keyshawn, that guy is the centerpiece of – if you look at the DNA of championship NBA teams – name me one team. He's not Steph Curry, so let's eliminate that. Steph Curry, think about the players that he had around him. All right, does he guard like Steph Curry?
No.
No, Steph is willing defender.
Steph sticks his nose in there. But look, Coach,
yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. So if you can't win one with a guy that doesn't play defense, can the Mavs win one with Luka? Because essentially, if for all my money, that's the same guy. One guy's bigger, one guy's smaller.
Oh, one guy's bigger, but also one guy's a lot better, too. I mean, one guy's bigger, one guy rebounds the ball, one guy makes plays for others, one guy stretches the defense, one guy's a great passer, one guy has a physicality to him. I think it's two different worlds. And one guy also could be surrounded with different pieces to complement him, especially when you put him with Kyrie, as opposed to, you know, like in the NBA, the point of attack is the most important thing to guard. If you can't guard the basketball, you can't set your defense. All right? Well, Luke is not guarding the ball at the point of attack. You can hide him off the ball some. You can hide him by, you know, blitzing or running a second defender. But you can't hide when you have to guard the ball at the point of attack. That breaks down your defense, your initial defense. And then all of a sudden, on the first pass, first play, you're basically in rotation and you're playing behind the ball. And it just can't work. Luke is a – don't be comparing – Trae Young to Luka.
Well, coach, I hear you. Coach,
hold on, coach. No, but wait, Seth, it's not really a comparison. My whole point is you said defensively you can't win an NBA title with a guy that doesn't play defense. Luka doesn't play defense. He scores a lot. He handles the ball. He does all those sort of things, which essentially is the same thing as Trae. But
and rebounds it.
But then you just broke it all the way down in X's and O terms for me. So – you know, it's a little bit different based on what
you
just said.
Key, I want to bring up something you brought up earlier. And here's the argument that I find difficult to rebut, Coach, talking to Coach Seth Greenberg here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Coach, on the one hand, I agree with everything you said about Luke. I'd rather have Luka than Trae. He's better. He has more upside, et cetera, et cetera. They've done the same thing so far in terms of team success. Neither plays defense. Both has gotten to a conference championship. I can't refute, like I try. I was arguing about it earlier, and I'd forgotten that Trae actually won two playoff series. I thought it was one. But no, they both won the same number of playoff series in the same season. Like, objectively, why is it that we are – is it because he's taller, Luka? It's because to the eye test he looks better? The bottom line is
no.
Trae has gotten pretty far in the playoffs. What's that?
He's gotten pretty far in the playoffs, and they're struggling to make the playoffs. Right? I mean, like, it's not – they're struggling to make the playoffs right now.
Well, that's true, too.
The other guys are going to be in the playoffs. And here's the thing, like, Max. Luka impacts the ball because he can rebound the ball. Luka impacts the ball because he's a terrific passer. Luka impacts the game because he can score on the perimeter. He can also take you to block back you down. Or double team, which makes the game easier for other people. Now, look, Trae has vision. But I wouldn't – and he could be a great passer. But he is not – the facilitator and ball mover at times than Luke is. And Luke is a high-volume shooter, and he has to have the ball in his hands, and they're going to find a balance from Kyrie. But Luke does more things to impact winning than Trae does.
Okay, I hear you. Coach, I want to turn our attention to the college game while we still have you. Who are some of the players that we should be keeping our eye on as we get ready for the NCAA tournament?
Let's go through some teams. I think that's the easiest way to do it. Obviously, Zach Edey, he's the immovable object at Purdue. He's the most unique player in college basketball. 7'5", or whatever, 7'7", wingspan, 290. It's impossible to even officiate him. There's no one like him. He's like Yao Ming in a lot of ways. So, you know, you start with that. I think that, you know, it's really easy to go there. UCLA, Jaime Jaquez is a unique, unique talent. 6'7". You know, can really shoot, can shoot it well enough to keep you honest, backs people down, rebounds the ball, willing pass. I was at the UCLA-Stanford game the other day. He literally put UCLA on his shoulders. It was so impressive to me just watching, you know, how he just basically took over the game in a game that they weren't playing at an overly high level. The Baylor team has terrific guard play.
Coach, we got about 20 seconds.
I'm going to give you. Kansas has the three best wings in college basketball. Jalen Wilson, Grady Dick's a big-time shooter, Kevin McCullough. Those are some guys real quick off the top of the head. And then you obviously got Brandon Miller, who might be the best of them all, but he's going through some issues right now. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Coach Seth Greenberg, great to talk to you as always, Coach. Stop me if you heard this before.
Thanks, guys. Anytime. Appreciate you having me.
Much more on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.